أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأبويته انقضاء، وانحضرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعنها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وفرقانه المجيد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. وقال الإمام أبو الحسن علي بن موسى الرضا عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
من كف غضبه كف الله عنه عذابه. I would like to congratulate all of you and all the mu'mineen and mu'minat on the birth of our eighth Imam, Imam Rida alayhi salatu wa salam. And as we are celebrating his birth, it is important to pay attention to some of the significant aspects of his life and his teachings. Like I always mention on the birth occasions, a short profile of the Imam. His actual name was Ali, and his kunyat, as mentioned in the books of history and hadith and rijal, is Abu al-Hasan al-Thani. So whenever you find any tradition without mentioning the name but just mentioning Abu al-Hasan al-Thani, it means our Imam Rida alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And Abu al-Hasan al-Thalith is the kunyat of Imam al-Hadi alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
famous and seventh, six non-famous and seventh famous alqab, total seven alqab and titles that are narrated in the history. Ravi and Wafi, Ghaibul Mulhadin,
exposures, and also what
light of the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. If the Sadiq says that I met with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in my way towards Makkah, and I asked him if you can please give me some advice that I can give that pass on the advice to my inheritors, my children. And which is a long narration, I am paraphrasing and summarizing in my own words. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said to me that these are my children, but this son of mine is the elderly among them in terms of knowledge. He appointed towards Imam Qadim alayhi salam, and he is the elderly one among them. In other words, in terms of his knowledge, ilm and fahm and ma'rifat and jood, that means his generosity, his in-depth recognition of Allah, and his understanding and patience and knowledge, and people, and all that the people stand in need of. So he is superior in all those aspects, and everything that people dispute about. So basically, whatever disputes you can find among the communities can be resolved if they turn to the Imam. And in the morals and personal jawab, that means, you know, good behaviors, in other words, and he is one of the doors among the doors of paradise. But after mentioning this long list, he says that the Imam has a sifat, an attribute which is better than all this, and that's where he mentioned that Allah is going to bring out from him the helper of this ummah, through which the blood of the people will be protected. Here Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is talking about Imam Ridha alayhi salam, who will be born from the lineage of Imam Qadim alayhi salam. The blood of the ummah will be protected, the disputes of the people will be corrected, and the divisions and separations will be brought together, and the broken will be joined, and those who don't have clothes to wear will be provided the clothes, and those who don't have food to eat will be provided the food, and those who will be under the fear will be provided safety, and Allah will bring down the rain because of him, and the servants of Allah will become obedient because of him, and he will be the best of all in all times, in his childhood, in his youth, in his middle age, and in his old age. His silence will be knowledge, and his talk will be wisdom. So this is how Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has been introducing Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and his talking about his arrival. And his mother says that when I got pregnant, his mother had several names narrated in the history. Sheikh Saduq had narrated 9 different names for his mother, but the most famous ones were Najma or Samana al-Maghribi. Actually, she was from those regions which fall in the country of Morocco nowadays, Maghrib, what we call, Samana al-Maghribiya, so, or Najma, these are some of the famous names for her. So that was the mother of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. So she says, when I got pregnant, I didn't feel any signs of pregnancy, in other words, I didn't felt the pregnancy, and I heard, when I used to sleep, I heard the voice of tasbih and tahleel coming from my belly. And when my son was born, he basically raised his hands towards the heaven, and said something that I didn't understand. Every imam performs the sajda and performs, there's the witnesses towards the Tawheed and Risalat and Imamat and his own Imamat. So, and I delivered the Imam this child, to Imam Qadim alayhi salam, and he congratulated her and recited the Adhan. hadith that the angels of Allah, some of the angels of Allah dropped from the fountain of paradise, they dropped the water into the river Euphrates every day. So it is a sacred water, and it is a sawab that we give it to the newborn babies. And Imam alayhi salam said, this is baqiyatullah, this is the remainder of Allah on the earth, and the hujjat of Allah after me. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam had the 20 years of his imamat, 20 years of duration, 17 of those 20 he spent in Medina, and those 17 were less narrated in the history, unfortunately. That's the way the people are, you know, and this again signifies the behavior of the masses towards the imams. When, as long as imam was in lesser of the hardship and lesser of the pains and freely accessible, you find the people have isolated him. And now that the imam was forcibly migrated to Tus by Mamun al-Rashid, who later poisoned the imam in order to fool the masses, he forcibly migrated the imam to his capital city, which is Marv. Right now it's in Turkmenistan. And those 3 years, last 3 years of his life, were of the highest possible hardship that he faced. That sometimes when he used to return back from Salatul Jum'ah, he used to pray to Allah for his own death. It's narrated in authentic hadith, authentic narrations, the imam used to pray for his own death when he used to come back from Salatul Jum'ah. So those 3 years of his extreme hardship, we find that those times were the ones that from his migration onward that are mostly narrated in the history. Just like Imam Hussain alayhi salam's 10 year of imamat, and zero hadith narrated from Imam Hussain. Can you imagine the people, how the people behave towards the imam? 10 years of imamat of Imam Hussain, living in his hometown of Medina, but no Shia, and nobody narrated any hadith from the imam. Can you imagine? And there are so many, Medina is full of believers. Until the time Allama Tabatabai says that he announces that he is doing the Qiyam. You know, now that he announces his Quruj and Qiyam, from that time onwards, some of the ahadith are narrated from Imam Hussain alayhi salam. That's the last few months of his life. 27th of Rajab, you know, when after that he left the city of Medina. So start counting from the Rajab. Don't even count Rajab. That's the end of Rajab. Sha'ban and Ramadan and Shawwal and Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah and 10th of Muharram in just 10 days. So, you know, it's 5 months. 5 months of his life, you have few ahadith from Imam Hussain, which are almost the least in number as compared to the rest of the imams. So this is how the people are. This is how the people behave. So we find Imam Ridha alayhi salam also, the ahadith that are narrated from him are mostly from the time of the last 3 years of his life, where he was forcibly migrated. And we find that 33,000 people were invited by Mahmud Rashid, who was playing smart from his perspective, because enough had been done by Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas towards the Ahlul Bayt. Now is the time to fool the people with a new strategy by using the name of Ahlul Bayt, by exploiting the name of Ahlul Bayt. Let's again fool the people with a new strategy. So let's bring Imam alayhi salam from Medina and let's force him to accept the Walayatul Ahd, become the inheritor to the throne, and the people will get fooled because of their hamaqat. People are busata, and most of the people are not of that high level of ma'rifat and insight and understandings. And this has been helping shaitan and their and his followers in Tawahid to play, and even today it's no different. city people are the easy targets of shayateen, and so that had been done over the history. Not the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen were never fooled by anybody throughout the history. Alhamdulillah. So we find he forces the Imam to migrate, and Imam alayhi salam was he announced several times in his life, I have written down 8 dala'il and evidences that Imam was never agreeing with the walayatul ahad. And even up till this date, you may find so many of the people who are justifying supporting of the ghul and taghut, the name of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, that even Imam Ridha alayhi salam accepted to be the wali al-ahad of Mahmud. The people still don't understand siratu siyasi, the political siratu siyasi of Ahlul Bayt. This is the most ununderstood aspect and jihad of the lives of Ahlul Bayt, is their political sirat. Every Tom, Dick and Harry in the Muslim community is interpreting it in his own way and doing tatbiq on his batil policy to justify his personal ra'i and opinion in the name of Ahlul Bayt. And they fail to understand that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, all of them are part of Bandur, and they have one policy, which is the policy and mawqif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad,
which has nothing to do with zulm and everything to do with the adl. So we find Imam alayhi salam himself, first of all, in various ahadith, Imam is himself expressing his disassociation, or the fact that this walayatul ahad being second to the throne of Mahmud, this second position has been imposed upon him. He expressed that very obviously in clear words in his own hadith. Second of all, he installed Majlisul Aza, a gathering of mourning at the time when he was departing the city of Medina, which shows that he was never willing to go. If somebody second to the throne of the king, he would be happy, isn't that right? Whereas Imam is holding Majlisul Aza, a gathering of mourning at the time of departing the city of Medina. So that's the second evidence. Third of all, Imam was crying in the city of Makkah. It's narrated and registered in the history. When in the city of Makkah, he was crying, so he was not willing to. That again shows his unwillingness. Also, he did his farewell with the faithful Baal. Farewell, because he knew he is never going to come back to Makkah again. So, fifth of all, he never accepted it until he was forced to death. So Mahmud Rashid, there was a long conversation narrated in the history, like one page of conversation, approximately a long conversation that took place between Mahmud and the Imam. And finally, when the Imam was constantly distancing himself from accepting it, finally Mahmud said, I will chop your neck, chop off your head. I will cut your head. And that, after being forced to death, that's where Imam Ridha alayhi salam was accepting. And then he said he will have nothing to do with his government. That means, in terms of, he's not going to install anybody or remove anybody, or none of those making nothing to do with his decisions, in other words. So he will be totally away from any decision that Mahmud is going to make. And upon those types of conditions, he accepted, and that's where the name of Imam al-Islam was being started to be announced from the mimbar and masajid and published in the coins. And that's where the Shia community started to put the coin with the name of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam and tie over their hands or in their necks or in their pockets and carry the name for protection, because it carries the name of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. So it became a kind of tradition from those days, because all the darahim and dinanir all the dirhams and dinars were coined with his name. That's again another move to fool the Shias and the masses, that see, I am with the Ahlul Bayt, so don't do my zalim government. It's all about a new strategy for the same old game, which worked for so many people. So many people were buying this strategy of the Tawud, and they calmed down. Isn't that right? Everything, so many things were calming down because of a new strategy that Mamun Rashid adopted. And then we find the incident of the Salatul Eid, where Imam Ridha alayhi salam was asked, Imam knew what his intention was. He was not accepting it, but upon insisting, he accepted to lead the prayers the way Rasulullah, his grandfather, used to lead, wearing the white amama. It is mustahab in the Sharia to wear white amama on the day of Eid. So Imam, that's how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear. So he wore the white amama. The daht al-hanak, one side of the amama he opened and put in the middle of the chest, and the other side of the amama on his back. And came out without the shoes, raising his dress to approximately nisf of sock. Knees and above the ankles, and raising the voice of takbir, and everybody responded with him. Even the soldiers of Mamun who were assigned there, some of them cut off their laces of the shoes with their daggers and knives, so they can also walk behind the Imam without the shoes. And it seemed that the heavens and earth were replying back with his takbir. Everybody was sounding Allahu Akbar behind the Imam. And that's where Mamun was advised by his advisor to bring the Imam back, otherwise his government will be toppled. So Mamun Rashid can understand that Salatul Eid is of Wazifatun Siyasiyya, is a political duty of Islam which some Shias still don't understand. Saddam can understand Salatul Jum'ah is a Faridatun Siyasiyya, which some of the Shias still don't understand. Isn't that right? So Saddam put a ban in Iraq because the second khutbah has to be political in the Sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So Saddam can understand that some Shias still don't understand. So they go and participate to those Salatul Jum'ah, which the second khutbah is non-political. So you don't understand what Saddam understands about Islam, about the Shayyuk, about the fiqh, the faqh of the deen, the faqh wa illa fa antum a'rab. So Imam Ridha alayhi salam, why did the wazir, why did the mushawir, why did the advisor of Imam al-Rashid said to him, stop Imam Ridha alayhi salam from Salatul Eid, otherwise your government will be gone. So the advisor of Mamun and Mamun al-Rashid la'anatullah alayh can understand that Salatul Eid is a political fariza of Islam that some Shias still don't understand. That's why they are participating in the non-political Salatul Jum'ah every week. Isn't that right? Because they don't understand this type of Jum'ah is not the Jum'ah of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. If they understood, they will never participate. Actions speak louder. Isn't that right? So we find when Imam used to come back from Salatul Jum'ah, which was obviously led by Mamun Rashid in those days, every Tawud used to lead the Jum'ah himself, with all the tiredness. He used to seek dua of his death from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much he was mutanaffir from the tughyan and from the zulm of the tahut and tawahid. So we find he had several sessions where Mahmud al-Rashid is one of those smart in the material sense of the word, who is trying to play smart, rulers who was claiming to be a follower of Ahlul Bayt. And we find that Mahmud al-Rashid, in some of those occasions, we have 5 minutes to go, in some of those occasions he used to gather the ulama and bring Imam Ridha alayhi salam and prove that the Khilafat belonged to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And that's what Shaheed al-Mutahhari al-Muhakkik, Ayatullah Shaheed al-Mutahhari rahmatullahi alayhi, says that look at the behavior. A person who claims to be the Shia and follower of Ahlul Bayt, of course he is not in the real sense, he is not, but he, and he proves among the ulama of Madahib that Khilafat belonged to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. But when it comes to his own time, he is doing the ghasb of Khilafat towards Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and he is also poisoning. Isn't that a lesson for the people that al-mulku aqeem, when it comes to power, even those who claim that we are the followers of Ahlul Bayt can poison the Ahlul Bayt themselves for the sake of dunya. That's a lesson for a lot of people of the Muslim community to remember, that how far the hubbud dunya can take the people. So we find Imam alayhi salam, Rayyan ibn Salt, one of the very nice mu'mineen. I think his grave is in Mashhad. I think, I'm not 100% sure. One of the followers of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, a very poor person. Nothing of surprise, all the followers were poor. So he said that I wanted to go for the ziyarat of the Imam, and I had in my mind that when I will meet with Imam Ridha alayhi salam, I will request him to give me one of his clothes. So I will be, I will put those clothes as my kafan. I will use the clothes of Imam Ridha alayhi salam as my kafan when I am buried. I will ask and request Imam to give me his clothes. And also I will request the Imam to give some dirhams so that I can buy some rings for my daughters. He was a very poor person. He didn't have money. So he said, I went for the ziyarat of the Imam, and I met with him when I was departing at the time of Wida. I was crying so much because I'm leaving the Imam. I just forgot what I had in my mind. And I left. And when I left his house, he called me to return back. So he called me, I returned back towards him, and he said, didn't you like that I give you a dress of mine, so that you can do your kafan in my dress? And that I give you some dirham so you can buy rings for your daughter, for your daughters. So Imam alayhi salam gave me his dress and gave me, he put his hand under the musalla and brought out some dirhams. And I counted, it was 30 dirhams. So he gave those, that money to me to buy rings for my daughters. So we find that even the time when the Imam was taken to Tus, Mahmud al-Rashid had commanded his people to take the Imam from the places where there are no Shias, areas of or if you cross from the areas where there are Shia population, then you better cross in the time of the night where people are sleeping. So nobody discovers that Imam Rida is passing by their towns. This is how the strategy is, how crooked they were. So the everything of theirs was for their siyasat, for their ahdaf, for their interests. This is very important to understand. A taghut never performs anything for your favor. Everything of the taghut is for his own manfaat and interests. You need to understand, you know. I remember in the time of the of Imam Ridwanullahi alayhi, somebody came and started to say things, and Imam Ridwanullahi alayhi said to him that this is what our enemies say. So do you belong to this side or you belong to that side? Whenever your statement is mutabiq with the statement of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt, you must understand, if your mawqif is serving the taghut, the enemies, you must understand you are not on haq. How can your mawqif be mutabiq with the mawqif of the taghut? So you must understand you are munharif. No, you don't grow horns when you become munharif. You have to understand from the seerat of Ahlul Bayt, which is the Mizan. So, some people, their mawqif is mutabiq with the mawqif of Tawud and serving their interests. So we find when Imam reached the city of Nishapur in the famous hadith that we already discussed earlier in one of the years, I'm not going to mention the hadith, but I'm going to mention what Imam Ridha alayhi salam said before the hadith, which we call Silsilatul Zahab, the chain of gold. Before the hadith, when some of the big shots and top personalities of the Muslim community were gathered, approximately 8,000 people were gathered in the outskirts of the city of Nishapur, and they said to the Imam, that أيها السيد ابن السادة أيها الإمام ابن الأئمة أيها السلالة الطاهرة المرضية الرضية أيها الخلاصة الزاكية بحق أبائك الطاهرين وأسلافك الأكرمين إلا أريتنا وجهك المبارك الميمون ورويت لنا حديثا عن آبائك عن جدك نذكرك به. So they addressed the Imam and then they requested him to mention a hadith from his ancestors, from his grandfather, the Holy Prophet, so that they can remember it and remember the Imam because of that, and in other words they can benefit from that hadith. And that's where Imam, before mentioning the hadith, said to them, Ma'ashara nas, isma'u wa'u. O you the people, the groups of people, listen so you can deeply understand. Wala tu'udhu Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi fi ajratihi wa ansihi. Don't torture the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and obey what they have said, what they say. So people who are now gathered in front of Imam alayhi salam, 8,000 people, and some of them with things to write down and pens to write down the whatever Imam says to them that don't torture the family of Rasulullah. The family of Rasulullah is being constantly tortured, and these people are still claiming that they are, you know, they are, these people are still there. So so we find that I will end my speech with the hadith that I recited in the beginning from the Imam, and that is actually narrated from his daughter, Hazrat Fatima bint Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam, alayhi salatu wa salam. She is one of the greatest ladies in the history, and some of the scholars have also narrated some karamat from that. قبل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيد الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعلى الموحدين. اللهم فك عن وطراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في